I just wanted to have a special prayer for all of our staff. They have already sacrificed a lot of time in preparation and planning, and it's going to be a long, hot week. And they knew that when they bought into this, when they signed in. So I just want to express my appreciation to each of you, and let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and we just thank you so much for each one who is working for the accomplishment of our Vacation Bible School program. Others, Father, have worked behind the scenes, before the scenes, working on preparing flyers and passing out flyers and doing other things, Father, that were needed to be done. We just thank you for each one. I ask for your health, for your protection, for your grace for each one of us through this week. And Father, just keep us all healthy. Keep us all rejoicing in you and grateful for the opportunity to share the gospel with the children that you'll bring to us. We ask your blessing on our entire week. I thank you so much for the staff that you have brought together to work. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Please be seated. Take your Bibles and be turning with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, you're going to start in chapter 2. I'm going to start a little bit before that. Our theme verse is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, we beg on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, I have a confession, again. Seems like I'm doing a lot of confessing to y'all here these days. I have a confession. Sometimes the ministry of an ambassador can be discouraging. Now, maybe this is a shock and a surprise to some of you. Maybe not so much to the rest of you. But it just seems to me like we have been hit from just about every side this spring and summer. Relationships, staff, individuals, marriages, groups, families. And it seems like Vacation Bible School is always a bit of a strain. This year it seemed like it was more of a strain. We have barely enough. I mean, there's always kind of a strain getting a crew. And this year, we drafted Dawn from France to be a helper, to have enough workers. And then there's the problem of getting the VBS flyers passed out. And then there's getting other preparations and things done. And then, of course, we have, extra people at our house, and so the kitchen sink plugs up. And the same day, our swamp cooler dies. And that was just after we had had one of our cars in the shop, supposed to be a one-day job, turned into a six-day job. And then our other car had to get it rolling so we could have enough wheels to get everybody. And it just seems like it's been one thing after another, and I kind of identify with Jeremiah. Maybe, maybe not to the extent that he had, but Jeremiah wrote, I've become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For each time I speak, I cry aloud. I proclaim violence and destruction because for me, the word of Yahweh has resulted in reproach and derision all day long. And if that wasn't bad enough, Jeremiah records, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of Yahweh has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. Now, I'm not feeling that about y'all. Y'all are here, and I appreciate that, but it's just that kind of sense of frustration, a kind of sense of discouragement. I've been battling that a bit this year. So I kind of wanted to think about the fact that God has given to us a ministry, and you might think, okay, ministry, that's Dave. Dave's the minister of our church. No. God has committed to all of us the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we're all ambassadors for Christ. We all have a ministry. This ministry thing is not a Dave thing. It's an everybody thing. Your ministry may be on your job. Your ministry may be to your family. Your ministry may be to your neighbors. Your ministry may be to your distant relatives. But every one of us has a ministry. And ministry can get tiring. Ministry can get discouraging. Ministry can be disappointing. Let you in on another secret. Not everybody responds properly to the teaching of God's Word. That probably shocks you. Yeah. Not everybody responds. God has committed to us a ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And that's not just on this side of the pulpit. That's it. Everybody on this side of the door. Okay? He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So, I guess my confession is that this study was something that I kind of did for me. It kind of helped me refocus about the importance and the significance and the value of this ministry. Not pastor, but the minister of reconciliation, the minister of an ambassador for Christ. So what I want to do, I was taken, I believe, by God's leading to 2 Corinthians. That's our theme verse, is in 2 Corinthians. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If I had been dividing the chapters, if I had been making the chapter breaks, I would not have made the chapter break where the people who did. I would have made the chapter break before chapter 2, verse 13. I would have made that chapter 3, verse 1, because that seems to me that Paul changes topics there. He's been talking very personally about some things having to do with him and the church at Corinth and some problems that they were having. And beginning in chapter 2, verse 14, it seems like he's kind of turned a corner. And he's talking about the ministry of an ambassador for Christ. What I want to do is we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 13, and we're going to go through the rest of chapter 2 and into chapter 3, finish chapter 3 pretty much. And I want to look at what Paul has to say in these verses about the ministry. And I want us to be encouraged by what Paul has to say about the ministry. Is it a struggle? Absolutely. Can it be discouraging? Absolutely. But that's when we're looking at things from the human, worldly, earthly perspective. What Paul does in 2 Corinthians is he gives us what Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. The ministry is a triumphant ministry. It's a triumphant ministry. Now maybe you're sitting here thinking and looking around and say, okay, 40-ish people here. That doesn't sound very triumphant to me. But think about some of the lives here. We just finished singing the song, What a Difference You've Made in My Life. Think about some of the lives that are represented here and the change that He has made in those lives. That's the power of the gospel. And it's a triumphant ministry, even if it's only for one person. Going through the book of Acts, we went through Acts chapter 8, and Philip has been having this enormously successful ministry in Samaria from human perspective. Lots and lots of people getting saved, people being discipled. And the Spirit of God says, okay, Philip, I want you to leave that outwardly successful, flourishing ministry, and I want you to go down to this desert road. Because there's one man down there traveling that desert road, Philip, and I want him saved. What I want us to think about is, was Philip's ministry any less effective witnessing to the Ethiopian on that road, on that desert road to Gaza, than he was in Samaria? Was his ministry any less triumphant? Not any less. He was doing exactly what God called him to do. And whether it was dozens and scores of people getting saved in Samaria, or whether it was one guy He was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit was using the gospel of Jesus Christ to change a life. That's triumph. That's a spiritual victory. It's a triumphant ministry. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. Well, always leads us. What about the time that we preach and nobody gets saved? Remember Isaiah 55? God says, "My word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I have determined for it." When we are faithfully proclaiming the word of God, that's our job. And that's success. The response of the person on the other end of that communication, that's between them and God. But our success is accomplished when we have faithfully and clearly presented the message. Because that's all God called us to do. He leads us to triumph as we proclaim the message of Christ. Secondly, I love this. It's a fragrant ministry. He manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. Who is adequate for these things? Whether the person gets saved by the Holy Spirit or not, they will be aware that they have been in the presence of one of God's ambassadors. And they will sense that sweet fragrance of the presence of God. Have you ever opened the door to a room where there have been a bunch of flowers in the room and the aroma from those flowers has filled the room when it's been shut up, and you open the door and you walk in and the smell of those flowers is just beautiful. We're the flowers, beloved. We're the flowers. So that the people around us should sense the fragrance of the presence of Christ in our lives. Some are going to accept. We're a fragrance of life unto life. Others are going to reject. We're a fragrance of death unto death. That's not our problem. That's not our job. Our job is to be the fragrance. Our job is to be the fragrance. But notice, we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. The primary person who's smelling that flower of your life is God Himself. He's the one who's being pleased. He's the one who's being honored. We're a fragrance of Christ to God. Does that depend on numbers and responses? Not a bit. That's dependent only upon our life and our witness. And by the grace of God, we can do that in a way that will bring glory and honor to Him. Our job is to be the fragrance. Whether the person inhales that fragrance and says, wow, or whether they inhale that fragrance and says, yuck, not our job, not our problem. Our job is just to be the fragrance. And when we have been the fragrance of the aroma of Christ to God, we have been successful in our ministry. Regardless of the response on the other side. That's it. Verse 17. We're not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Paul says we have a sincere ministry. Paul said, going to talk later, that there are people who are peddling the word of God, who are making money off of the gospel, who are elaborating and doing things for their own gain. Paul says, "Isn't that what we're in this for? We're here to bring glory to God. We're here to praise Him. We have a sincere ministry, not a self-centered ministry. It's a ministry whose focus is God. It's a ministry that is evidenced by grace. And so we had people call, people who had received flyers for our vacation Bible school. One of the first questions they ask is, how much does it cost? I love it when they ask that, because I get to share with them that it doesn't cost a thing. That this is part of our ministry, of this church, to the community of Edgewater, and we wouldn't want to charge for it. Because we wouldn't want anything to be hindrance to anybody coming. We want to make it open and available and free to everyone. And we're not going to pass a hat later on during the week either. Not a bait and switch. It's not a come on. It's a sincere ministry. Ignore the chapter break. Terrible chapter break. Chapter break should have been back at verse 14. We're not through with verse 17 yet. We speak in Christ in the sight of God. This ministry is a ministry that God takes notice of. The ministry that God takes notice of. Is the world going to take notice of what happens at Fellowship Bible Church this week? Probably not. If we're here to try to impress the world, that's going to bother us a lot. If we're here and we realize this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. If we're here and we realize that we are servants of the Most High God and our job is to serve Him and please Him alone, and in the future, we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And whether the world recognizes anything that we've done or not, it won't matter. I think I mentioned before, having read the book, The Call by Os Guinness. And there he has a chapter entitled, The Audience of One. The Audience of One. We are to serve as if God is watching. And nobody else. Because He is. Somebody once jokingly said on Facebook, and you don't need to worry about what other people think because they're not thinking about you. They're playing on their phone. God is never distracted in playing on His phone. He is watching what we do. And as we serve Him with a sincere and pure heart, He takes notice of it. There aren't going to be any headlines next week, you know, what happened at Fellowship Bible Church. But Jesus said even a cup of water that's given in His name will not lose its reward. We're probably going to give out lots of cups of water this week. It's going to be hot. Jesus said every one of those cups of water was going to receive its reward. The ministry that we do, whether the world notices or not, is a ministry that God notices. And that's why you do it. That's why you do it. You skip verses 1 through 3 of chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate, as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It is an adequately supplied ministry. Not talking about finances here. He's talking about the supply of the individual personal adequacy. Paul said, you know what? I don't feel adequate for the job that God has called me to do. And you know what? I'm not. I'm not adequate in myself to think of anything as coming from myself, because our adequacy comes from God. Beloved, every one of you here has a spiritual gift that God has given to you to minister. You've been given a spiritual gift. You have been given the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Our adequacy comes from God. Remember when God called Moses? You know, if you didn't read the book, you've seen the movie, I'm sure. Moses at the burning bush, you know.
Moses.
And Moses starts making excuses. God, you don't send me. I don't talk good, and I've never been very eloquent, and I'm a nobody, God. God never says, no, Moses, don't put yourself down like that. Why, you are trained in Pharaoh. You are trained in all the learning of Egypt. You know, length of your education. God never says that. You know what God tells him? I will be with you. That's all he says. As if that's enough. Beloved, that is enough. Somebody once said, one plus God is a majority. God is with us. Maybe you don't feel adequate for the job you're signed up for vacation Bible school. Our adequacy comes from God. Our adequacy comes from God. Paul says it's a new covenant kind of ministry. Verse 5, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Okay. Talking about the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. But it's interesting here because he doesn't use the definite article. The definite article would have said, we are the covenant, the new covenant kind of ministers. Instead, he's saying we're new covenant kind of ministers. Our ministry is like the new covenant. Because the new covenant was a ministry in the heart. It was a ministry by the Spirit. It was not the flesh and by the law. It's a new covenant kind of ministry. It's that kind of ministry that we're doing. As a new covenant kind of ministry, it's a ministry of the Spirit. It's a ministry of the Spirit. Verse 6, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not in a letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Verse 7, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory. Okay, what is that talking about? Ministry of death engraved on stones? That's Mosaic law. Remember Moses with the tablets came down from the mountain? But the ministry of death and letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was. How will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? Ministry of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit who guided the writers of Scripture, that same Holy Spirit is living inside of each one of us. He is the one who is equipping us. He is the one who is empowering us to do the ministry that He has called us to do. So it's not a ministry of the flesh. It's not a ministry of personal human ability. It's a ministry of Spirit equipment. Spirit equipping. Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation has glory, okay, that's talking about the Old Testament law. That's all the Old Testament law brought was condemnation. Paul in Romans chapter 3 says that by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified, for by the law comes the knowledge of sin. God gave all those thou shalt nots because they didn't. And God gave all those thou shalt nots to get them to do things that they weren't doing. No, to get them to not do things they were doing. I'll get this straight. And he gave all the commandments because they weren't following them. The ministry of condemnation has glory. Much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. The ministry that God has called us to is a ministry of righteousness. Because when an individual hears the gospel and believes the gospel, at that moment, the very righteousness of Christ is credited to their account. They become the righteousness of God in Christ. Tell me, what other program, what other counseling approach, what other method can make that kind of a life-changing transformation? Nothing. There is nothing that has the power to change lives like the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it takes people who were unrighteous and makes them righteous, declares them righteous in the eyes of a holy God. And God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation, that we get to share with people that message that can make that kind of a life-changing difference. We can do that every day at our work, at our jobs, our neighborhood. But we do it in Vacation Bible School. We do it when kids come from all sorts of backgrounds, many of them knowing little or nothing about God. And we get to share with them that there's a holy God who loves them, who offers them righteousness as an absolutely free gift if they'll simply accept it through Christ. That's our ministry. And whether it's 140 kids or whether it's 14 kids, remember the Holy Spirit sent Philip after one guy. Took him away from an outwardly, worldly, prosperous ministry in Samaria and sent him to preach to the Ethiopian. Because God cares about individuals. Verse 10, for indeed what had glory in this case, the Old Testament law, Moses came down, his face was shining because he had been in the presence of God. For indeed what had glory in this case has no glory, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Now, maybe that's a little confusing for you, so let me try to make it simple. It's a glorious ministry. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone of any age is a glorious ministry opportunity, and it's available to any one of us. Available to any one of us. The Old Testament law seemed like it was a glorious thing. I mean, Moses went up on the mountain and God spoke to him for 40 days and 40 nights and he brought down the tablets. His face was shining because he had been in the presence of God. But you know what? What he brought down, the Old Testament law, did not have the power to transform lives. The Old Testament law never changed a heart. But God has given to us the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ that can transform hearts and change eternities. Change eternities. It's a glorious ministry. The world hates it. The world hates this message. The world is trying to make us feel guilty about proclaiming the gospel. Beloved, we need to see things from God's perspective. It's a glorious ministry. Glorious opportunity to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. It's a glorious ministry and it's an abiding ministry. It's an abiding ministry. The law was intended to be temporary. That's why God gave the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, was to let the people know that the law wasn't going to exist forever. But when we present the gospel to somebody and they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, their forever is changed forever. What could be more significant than that? Than changing somebody's forever? It's an abiding ministry. The results of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ will abide into eternity. That's what eternal life is all about. It's an abiding ministry. Verse 12. Therefore, having such hope, we use great boldness in our speech. It's a hope-filled ministry. It's a hope-filled ministry. What holds more potential hope then the knowledge that the gospel of Jesus Christ can transform not only somebody's life in this world and this earth, can change there forever. There's nothing that offers more hope than that. It's a hope-filled ministry. Therefore, having such hope, we use great boldness in our speech. It's a bold ministry. When we are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to people, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. We are fighting the spiritual forces of darkness in heavenly places. And we have Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit on our side. And we can be bold to present the gospel. Because there's salvation in no other. Neither is there any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have the truth, the one and only truth that people need in order to be transformed into the image of Christ. And that can happen when we present the gospel to somebody. It's a hope-filled ministry. Verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It is an unveiling ministry. We talked about this again in our Bible class a little bit this morning. That unsaved people have a veil over their heart. It's like somebody threw a blanket over it so the light can't get in. But when we present the gospel, the Holy Spirit is pleased to remove that veil. To let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in, to transform that life, to make them something brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. That transformation takes place only through the preaching of the gospel. Nothing else can do that. And God doesn't use anything else to take that veil away than the gospel. But that's our message. That's why we screen the material that we use for Vacation Bible School carefully to make sure that it's presenting the message clearly. That's why even back in our tract rack, every one of those tracts we've looked at carefully to make sure that it's presenting the message without any obscurity, without any confusion, because it's the message of the gospel, the simple, plain, pure gospel of Jesus Christ that God uses to transform lives miraculously and powerfully. Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's a liberating ministry. People talk a lot about being addicted to things, being in bondage to things. We talked again in our Bible class this morning the fact that unsaved people are slaves of sin. And there is no freedom outside of Christ from that slavery. You can trade forms of sin, but you can't get out of the bondage of sin apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel offers freedom that nothing else in this world can offer. And we have that message. How could we think about not giving it to people? It would be like if we discovered the cure to cancer and we thought, okay, I'm going to keep this to myself. And I'm going to let millions of people go ahead and die of cancer, even though I have the cure, because I don't want to share it with them. I want to keep it to myself. Of course that would be wrong. It would be dreadfully wrong. Beloved, we have a more significant cure for a more serious problem than a cure for cancer. We have the cure and the solution to eternal death. And that cures the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The freedom that Jesus offers is available through the message of the gospel. And He's committed to us the word of the gospel, the word of reconciliation. we have the privilege of being the agents of communicating that liberating message to people who desperately need to hear it. Unimportant? Trivial? Insignificant? Hardly. It's as significant a ministry as we could have when you think of the spiritual results that are possible. And even if we don't see any results, we are still that fragrance of Christ to God. We are that fragrance to Him when we serve Him. Ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ will always come with His provision and sufficiency and produce His results. And we get the blessing. What is it? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Melissa Feltner's grandmother already has passed away. Let's remember to pray for her. Father, we come to you and just want to hold up the entire Feltner family. Pray your comfort and grace for them in this time of their loss. Thank you, Father, for a life well lived, long life well lived. Father, I just lift them up to you. Pray for your comfort and grace for them. And I pray for us as well, Father, that you would impress upon us the importance and the significance of the ministry that we'll have this evening and all this week at Vacation Bible School. But everything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to realize, Father, that it's significant to you that we are a fragrance of Christ to you among those who are perishing and among those who are being saved. But Father, it's primarily for you. We love you, Father. We thank you for the privilege of serving in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask it in His precious name. Amen. May God's grace be with you.